"Let's go," Klaus said, and put his hand on the door of the supply closet. But he did not open it. Instead, he turned back to his sister, and the two Baudelaires looked at each other. Even though the siblings were wearing white coats and had surgical masks on their faces, they did not look like doctors. They looked like two children in white coats, with surgical masks on their faces. Their disguises looked spurious, a word which here means nothing at all like a real doctor. And yet they were no more spurious than the disguises that Olaf had been using since his first attempt to steal the Baudelaire fortune. Klaus and Sunny looked at one another and hoped that Olaf's methods would work for them and help them steal their sister. And without another word, they opened the door and stepped out of the supply closet.
"Douth?"
Sunny asked, which meant, "But how are we going to find the surgical ward when the maps of this hospital are so confusing?" "We'll have to find someone who's going there," Klaus said. "Look for somebody who looks like they're on their way to the surgical ward."
"Silata,"
Sunny said. She meant something along the lines of, "But there are so many people here," and she was right. Although the volunteers fighting disease were nowhere to be seen, the hallways of Heimlich Hospital were full of people. A hospital needs many different people and many different types of equipment in order to work properly. And as Klaus and Sunny tried to find the surgical ward, they saw all sorts of hospital employees and devices hurrying through the halls. There were physicians carrying stethoscopes, hurrying to listen to people's heartbeats. And there were obstetricians carrying babies, hurrying to deliver people's children. There were radiologists carrying X-ray machines, hurrying to view people's insides. And there were optic surgeons carrying laser-driven technology, hurrying to get inside people's views. There were nurses carrying hypodermic needles, hurrying to give people shots. And there were administrators carrying clipboards, hurrying to catch up on important paperwork. But no matter where the Baudelaires looked, they couldn't see anyone who seemed to be hurrying to the surgical ward. "I don't see any surgeons," Klaus said in desperation.
"Papix,"
Sunny said, which meant,
"Me neither."
"Out of my way, everybody," demanded a voice at the end of the hallway. "I'm a surgical assistant, carrying equipment for Dr. Flacutono."
The other employees of the hospital stopped and cleared the way for the person who had spoken. A tall person, dressed in a white lab coat and a surgical mask, who was coming down the hallway in odd, tottering steps.
"I've got to get to the surgical ward right away," the person called, walking past the Baudelaires without even glancing at them.
But Klaus and Sunny glanced at this person. They saw beneath the bottom hem of the white coat the pair of shoes with stiletto heels that this person was wearing. And they saw the handbag in the shape of an eye that the person was holding in one hand. The children saw the black veil of the person's hat, which was hanging in front of the surgical mask. And they saw blotches of lipstick, which had soaked through from the person's lips and was staining the bottom of the mask. The person, of course, was pretending to be a surgical assistant, and she was carrying something that was pretending to be a piece of surgical equipment. But the children did not need more than a glance to see through both of these spurious disguises. As they watched the person tottering down the hallway, the two Baudelaires knew at once that she was really Esme Squalor, the villainous girlfriend of Count Olaf. And as they looked at the thing she was carrying, glinting in the light of the hospital hallway, the two Baudelaires knew that it was nothing more than a large rusty knife with a long row of jagged teeth, just perfect for a craniectomy.